It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Tens of millions of Americans are still under heat alerts. The conditions are dangerous for those who have to spend long periods outside. CBS News correspondent Christian Benavides reports from Miami.
In Georgia, outdoor workers are trying to keep cool.
Drink plenty of water, take shade if you have to.
In California, firefighters are struggling to handle the temperatures.
So we're wearing that same gear, you know, to keep us safe. But yet now we're dealing with these temperatures, these outside temperatures.
In South Florida, activists for farm workers are pushing changes in the law after a 29-year-old died while working in the brutal heat.
We need water. We need shade.
A wildfire prompted the largest evacuation in Greece's history. Almost 20,000 people have been taken off the island of Rhodes. This British tourist was one of them.
Thousands of people still on the beach, and everybody was screaming. They were fighting. It was like Armageddon.
No injuries were reported. Small boats first took women and children off the island, then men. Several tour operators canceled flights to Rhodes. Ukrainian officials say at least one person was killed and over 20 hurt when Russia struck the city of Odessa early today. That's the cleanup beginning in the city. Four children are among those injured. The blast severely damaged a landmark cathedral. There are widespread protests in Israel ahead of a legislative vote tomorrow on the first part of a judicial reform plan. Shavlev Haham demonstrated in Tel Aviv.
We are here in order to try to save the democracy.
One man is dead and four hurt, including a child, after a shooting in southeast Memphis. WREG-TV reporter Ashley Paul has more.
We are hearing.
Police tell us in addition to the one man who died, two women were brought to St. Francis Hospital in critical condition, and a child was taken to Le Bonheur, also in critical condition. A fifth victim, according to police, brought himself to Baptist East with non-critical injuries. But as for what happened, MPD has not released much, including any information on the suspect.
More than 40 migrants were sent from Texas to Los Angeles, the fifth bus of migrants to make that trip since the middle of June. Angela Salas is with the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights.
We're here to reunite with our family members, many who have been very worried about their safety, but they finally made it to their new home. They were also reunited with sponsors, individuals who have made a decision to become financially responsible.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Granger, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin, we are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Beaches are supposed to be for people to enjoy, but a high number of Great Lakes beaches in Wisconsin tested for potentially dangerous levels of bacteria last year. Mike Moen has more.
In its latest Safer Swimming Summary, the group Environment America notes 63% of beaches tested in the Great Lakes region last year had at least one day of fecal contamination that exceeded the EPA's beach action value. That tool helps states determine whether a beach is safe enough to go swimming. Environment America's John Rumpler says the results underscore how much pollution is plaguing areas meant for the public to enjoy.
All too often, hundreds of America's beaches have enough pollution to put swimmers at risk, and that's just unacceptable.
The report's authors looked at data for more than 3,000 samples across the U.S. that were sent to the EPA. For Wisconsin, more than 100 beaches were tested last year. 76 had at least one day of potentially harmful levels of the bacteria in question. Sources of pathogen pollution that can make swimmers sick include stormwater runoff and sewage overflows. And in the Midwest, Rumpler says there's concern about the presence of so-called factory farms.
It's possible that manure from some of those animal operations is also contributing to the kind of bacteria that we're seeing on these beaches.
The report recommends putting moratoriums on industrial-scale livestock operations or adopting policies that stop manure from flowing into waterways. Another listed solution is repairing and modernizing sewage systems. Those types of infrastructure projects stand to benefit from the bipartisan infrastructure law adopted by Congress in late 2021. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and today we will be talking with one of the busiest women in the world, Dr. Nakia Wiley, a caregiver to three people and her life, and a strong, don't mess with her, disability advocate, who will be talking about the Disability Pride Festival that will be held here in Madison on Saturday, July 29th. The festival will be outside at Warner Park, which is located at 2930 North Sherman Avenue from noon to 5 p.m. And before we get started, I'm just going to throw out there that we are in the new downtown studio, or I should say I'm in the new downtown studio on State Street in Madison. And we have a producer that's working out of Waukesha and some technical issues on the way. So we will get through it and persevere. I am 100% confident, but just wanted to throw that out there because we're doing a whole lot of work on our end to make it all work out. But Nakia, thank you so much for joining us here today. And I just want to start by having you tell listeners about the upcoming Disability Pride Festival and what your role is in the festival.
All right. First of all, Liza, thank you so much for having me today. I am super excited about talking about our 10th annual Disability Pride Fest. I am the Vice President for Disability Pride Madison, and I am super excited about our lovely board of humans who all identify as having disabilities. We have been working hard, okay, trying to bring this epic event to Madison. And let me tell you something, it is going to be a blast. Number one, we have over 80 exhibitors. Wow. Okay. Yes. Yes. This is here.
You are going to have, you're going to have it all. Unfortunately, I am not sure that people caught that. And I love your enthusiasm, and you're going to have to, you may have to rally and do it again. Did we lose you on Zoom?
Oh my, I think
Okay. No. That's all right. That's all right. Nakia will come back. And her enthusiasm is infectious. And if you were wondering what you're going to do on July 29th after hearing her, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get in your car and go to the Disability Pride Festival. She was saying that there's over 80 vendors that are going to be there. Lots of performers, lots of artists, and I cannot wait to hear more from her and what she is planning for the festival. Let's see if she's back with us.
Yes.
Are you there? Okay. All right. All right. So let's take it from the top. Let's take it from the top. And I know that's going to strain your brain because you just listed a lot, like a lot of things that are going on that day. And I'm going to make you do it again. So what do we got going on at Disability Pride Festival?
All right. Disability Process is family friendly. We have over 80 exhibitors. Okay. We have 8 food trucks that's going to be there as well. And on our stage, we are going to have a magic show. Okay. We're going to have storytelling going on. We're going to have the Queer Crip Showcase. We're going to have a speaker from the 100 Black Men of Madison talking about sickle cell disease. We're going to have our City of Madison, the Department of Civil Rights will be there to speak and to proclaim how they are on board for inclusion and accessibility in Madison, all right? We're going to have sports and activities as well. Go ahead, Liza.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm overwhelmed. Are you going to have food? Are you going to have food, Nakia? That's what I need.
Yes, tons of food. Tons of food. And I'm going to tell you what we need. Able-bodied volunteers.
Oh.
Able-bodied, yes. People who can walk, people who can run, people who can support us. A lot of our board members use wheelchairs, and they got the energy, but they need somebody to be their legs. All right?
I hear you. Some days I need that too. Where can people go to volunteer?
Oh, my goodness. Guess what? They can email me. Yes, they can.
Well, and only if you give them your email address.
All right. My email address, you can find me at nswiley@madison.k12.wi.us.
Okay. And I'm sure that I believe there's a form on the disabilitywisconsin.org website too. So it's not too late. If you want to volunteer and use those legs, get on the website and help out, because it sounds like an amazing event. And I went there a few years ago before COVID, had a great time, but this sounds over the top. So you guys definitely have been working hard to get everybody out in this under the sun to come and be a part of this event. And as a parent of a child with a disability, I could not be happier for you. So thank you, first of all, for all of the work that you and the whole organization has done. But I just want to take a step back and talk a little bit more about Disability Pride Madison and their mission. Can you tell listeners a bit about the history of Disability Pride and what their mission is?
Absolutely. Disability Pride Madison was established 10 years ago. All right. And our mission here is to help people with disabilities to take pride in themselves and to show the able-bodied community what we have to offer. All right. We are focused on throwing elaborate festivals and getting everybody together. And not only that, let me tell you something. We are advocates, okay, in the disability community. We have wonderful board members. Oh, my goodness. We have Nikki Vandermeulen, who is on the board of MMSD. We have Kate Moran, who is our president. We are so excited to have her. We have Jason Glosser. We have Martha Saravo, and she is notorious for going to private and public schools, advocating for our scholars who have IEPs and 504 plans. We have another Jason who is with Access. We have Autumn and Katie and Priyanka and Rebecca Hoyt and Jim Turk. We are a force to be reckoned with, and we've been around for 10 years and we're not going nowhere. We're just going to get bigger and better every year.
It sounds like it. And I'm a little bit intimidated just hearing. Are they all as positive and enthusiastic as you?
Oh my, yes. And I'm going to tell you now, the disability community ain't nothing to play with. They are fierce when it comes to advocating for the rights, for their rights and for the rights of others. You don't want to mess around.
I believe you. I believe you. In fact, you kind of got me a little bit scared, but I know it. You are not one to be messed with. I know firsthand. And you know, when I came across Disability Pride, I actually looked up the word pride. I don't know. Every now and then I like to do that. And it says a feeling of deep satisfaction. Now, I have a pretty good clue, the answer, but I want to ask you, why do you think it is important for folks to come together and celebrate disability pride?
Yes, we are the historically marginalized humans who have so much talent and so much love to give. And just for us to come out and say, hey, I'm disabled and I'm proud. Children need to see that. Do you hear me? We are changing the narratives for inclusion for our babies and their babies, babies' babies. And we want people to know that inclusion is the way. There is no more of putting us in a little room by ourselves or just excluding us. No, we belong. We belong in Madison. We have a lot to offer. We're here. We are here. See us, hear us, feel us. And guess what? Give us what we need.
Exactly. I hear you. You know, that made me think of the day. I think Caden was around 8 years old. My son, Caden, who's currently 19, is on the autism spectrum. And I think around 8 years old, I explained to him that he has autism and what that means. But I just hyped it up. I mean, I hyped it up like he had this superpower. And he went around for the longest time, like, you know, tapping on people's shoulders, like, excuse me, I'm kind of a big deal. If you don't know this, I have autism. So I loved the pride in him then, and I love the pride in him now. I want to ask you, though, on the disability website, you had disclosed that you had a disability yourself. And a lot of times when it comes to the world of disabilities, you think about obstacles and barriers. Would you mind sharing with listeners what having a disability has taught you when it comes to your own personal disability and what you're most proud of?
Oh, my God, Liza. Thank you so much for this. It's okay for me not to be okay. And that for me was the hardest barrier. I grew up and in my Black community, we weren't allowed to talk about it. But now I can.
I believe you. And you know what? I want to hear this story. I want to hear all of it. And I pushed you right up against a commercial. So hold that thought. Hang on to it tight. Let's talk more after this short break.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hallenbrand, and we have been talking with Dr. Nakia Wiley about Disability Pride Madison. And I asked her a question right before break that I really wanted to hear the answer to, and I didn't even give her enough time to answer it. So I'm going to ask you again. So on Disability Pride's website, you had disclosed that you have a disability yourself, and I just want to know what having a disability has taught you, and when it comes to your disability, what are you most proud of?
All right. Thank you so much. Right now, I'm just living in the moment of being proud that that's a part of my identity, because as a child, we weren't allowed to talk about disabilities, especially if it was something invisible going on in your mind. In my Black community, I grew up all Black. I'm Black, okay? We grew up and it was taboo. That wasn't something for us, which meant that we weren't going to get proper treatment. So as I got older, I started to notice that I was a little different mentally. And it took 3 panic attacks. And one resulted in me waking up in the emergency room with 2 broken legs.
Wow.
And so from that, I had to just come out and come clean to my family and let them know that I was having some issues in my body, where I was nervous all the time for no reason, and my thinking was disoriented. And so as a result of not embracing anxiety, and I was struggling from depression. I lost my mom in 2008 to cancer, and I didn't want to talk about it. I was having night terrors every night. But when I broke my legs, then I got a physical disability now. So I am titanium. I have a titanium rod in my left tibia, and I have a titanium plate and screws in my right knee. And I've had like maybe altogether like 5 surgeries on my legs. And when I first came to Madison in 2016, I was ashamed and I was trying to hide my physical disability, which really was hurting me. And so now I'm proud. I got my cane. I'm excited. And it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to need medication. It's okay to see therapists. It's okay. And I'm proud.
It is okay. And it has not slowed you down a bit. I couldn't even catch up with you if I spent the next 5 years trying. But I want to know, since this show is for family caregivers, can you tell listeners that may be caring for a person with a disability how they can really help instill that pride for the people that they care for?
Yes. Number one, listen to them. Use active listening. Be welcoming, be open, and be honest, and believe what they're saying, and let them know that they are amazing. And it's okay. Embrace having your disability and embrace the idea that you're going to have to advocate and that I can help you. I'm your caregiver. So guess what? I'm going to be your eyes, your hands, your feet, your scribe. Okay. For the things that you can't do, I'm going to stand in the balance for you, and I'm going to fight, and we're going to go through it, and it's all right. And I'm going to make sure that you get what you need so that you can achieve your goals.
Well said. Perfect. I love it. And you know, you said that that you're celebrating your 10th anniversary with this festival. And with that, the City of Madison is hosting a virtual disability summit, a community-led movement for disability justice on July 27th and July 28th. The name of this summit is called Collective Visioning for a More Equitable Future. The Disability Summit is a platform for visioning and developing a citywide agenda that will ensure all city programs include the voices and needs of the disability community. Can you tell us a little bit about that event and what participants can expect?
Absolutely. That event will be virtual. The time will be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. So when you're wrapping up your work, just come on and open up those laptops and you are in for a treat. We are going to have representatives, Sheila Stubbs, another representative, Joers. We're going to have a DJ training workshop. Okay. I know, right? Exciting. Our president, Kate Moran, she's also going to be a keynote wrapping us up in the evening as well. We're going to have a panel discussion about the intersectionality of collective liberation. Yes, we came to dismantle systems of oppression. We're going to have another panel discussion about visioning for the future of Madison and how we can all work together, all right? And how people really need to listen to the disabled community, all right? And allow us to lead. And so, Governor Evers proclamation will be read as well. So you guys are in for a treat. It is a learning session. All are welcome. I highly recommend that we get our middle schoolers and high schoolers tuned in as well. All right.
That is a wonderful idea. And if Madison is your community, you know, join, make it yours. Tell it, you know, let people hear your voice and what we need and what you want. And if Madison's not your community, I would encourage you to listen as well, because you live in some community, right? And you can bring the wisdom and the stories to your community. We don't have a lot of time left, but what I wanted to ask you is, for someone that supports people with disabilities and having a disability yourself, this is a question we might have to come back to, because I know it's a big one, but what does an equitable future look like to you? Actually, you know what? I want you to ponder that. I want you to give that some real good thought, because after this short break, we are going to come back and talk about equitable future for those living with disabilities.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Relief is soon coming to areas that have been enduring heat waves for weeks. But it's still dangerously hot in South Florida, where the Rolling Loud Music Festival is taking place. WFOR-TV's Larry Seward.
Expecting extreme afternoon and evening heat to feel like 110 degrees, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue warned anyone spending time outside to beware, protect themselves from sun exposure, and hydrate.
A man was killed and over 20 others hurt after Russia attacked the Ukrainian city of Odessa. Resident Tetiana Toniev says bricks and glass fell on her and she was left in total darkness. One man is dead and four hurt after a shooting in southeast Memphis. WREG-TV reporter Ashley Paul.
We can confirm that one man who was brought here to Methodist University Hospital has died.
Police have not released information about the suspect. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And today I've been talking with Dr. Nakia Wiley about the Disability Pride Festival that will be held at Warner Park Saturday, July 29th from noon to 5. If you'd like to learn more about what to expect at the Disability Pride Festival, you can go to disabilitypridemadison.org. And before the festival, on July 27th and 28th, they're going to hold a virtual summit that anyone could sign up for. It's called Collective Visioning for a More Equitable Future. And before we went to break, Nakia, I asked you a big, huge question, like, what is the meaning of life? And then gave you like 20 seconds to answer. So I want to come back to that one and ask you, as somebody that supports people with disabilities and having a disability yourself, what does a more equitable future look like to you?
Oh, thank you. Equity. Number one, representation of the disabled community when decisions are being made about housing, education, money, social opportunities, health and wellness, and transportation. Equity is these humans who have disabilities are getting what they need in all six of those areas, which means that they need to be seated in positions where these changes are happening. All right?
We're Amen. Talking about
policies, practices, and procedures. We're talking about every level of government, judicial, legislative, right? We need to be in these positions so that able-bodied folk are not making decisions for us without us in mind. They have no clue what it's like to have a different type of disability. That is why it is important for the voices to be uplifted so that we have the right representation.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. And, you know, I was listening to the 2021 Disability Pride Madison panel summit that you can view on YouTube if you Google it. And there was one speaker that was so eloquent in her speaking about disability justice and the injustice of disabled people, the injustice that disabled people see in the police system. She went on to state that 70% of people killed by police have disability. And, you know, that wasn't the first time I heard that. And that was a conversation that I had with Caden a few years ago, that, you know, if a police officer stops you to question about anything, raise your hand, tell them your name and say, I have autism. Like, don't even play. Don't even, you know, try to figure it out, because he can be slow to understand receptive language, and, you know, needs additional processing time, and it can be hard for him. And, you know, to the wrong person, he may look like he's hiding something, like he's impaired, you know, who only knows. So we went through that very early in life. Just tell them that you have, or tell them that you have a disability. Now, that's our family's personal choice of how to handle it. But when it comes to the criminal justice system and disabilities, where do you think we are at? And what would you like to see done to make it more equitable and safe for people with disabilities?
Oh, Liza, when we look at the numbers of who is incarcerated in Dane County, it's disparate. The disproportionality of the incarceration rate for who is being arrested, why are they being arrested, the stereotypes. We got a lot of work to do. And I do mean a lot of work to do. We know that the majority of humans who are incarcerated suffer from a disability. Mental health, we have to address it. We have to do better. Just locking people up and throwing away the key and calling them criminals is not helping. It's not.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. It's not helping. It impacts them for life. You know, it creates a lifelong challenge for them. And you're right. It's not where so many people need to be, especially when you add in mental health and mental health challenges. So I would encourage everyone to go and listen to the 2021 Disability Pride panel that you can find on YouTube. They had a lot of great speeches there. And the one about the injustice in the criminal system just really, really struck me, because I know that it is a huge problem. And if you would like to take a part in this year's Disability Justice Virtual Summit on July 27th and or 28th, starting at 5 p.m. each night, you can sign up by going to thecityofmadison.com and searching Disability Summit, or you can just go to our Facebook page, Empowered Caregiver Community, and I put all of the information up there. So, Dr. Wiley, I called you a disability advocate, which of course you are, but you wear like a million other hats. Can you tell listeners what you have done and what you are still doing to support people with disabilities in the community?
Oh, wow, that's fully loaded. Okay, so Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to like, you know, 4 p.m.-ish, I am the coordinator for Student Services Professional Learning for Madison Metropolitan School District, which means that I support the professional learning for our professionals who support our scholars who have disabilities and are in need of an individualized education program and or a 504 plan. All right. So that is my career. I am a former special education teacher as well. And so guess what? When I get done with MMSD, you know, I want to give back. And so you can find me during the fall and spring at Edgewood College. I am the doctoral assistant, grad assistant for the Cutting Edge program, where I support college students who have disabilities. And I'm going to tell you, oh my God, those are my kids. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay.
your kids, Nakia, that's my kid you're talking about. That's my kid.
Okay, my baby.
he loves you. He probably loves you more than me. He absolutely loves you, and for good reason. But you've done so much. You've done so much more. If you don't mind, I'm going to tell listeners where I first met you. I wanted to give back and support as well, so I applied at MSCR, which is like the Madison Parks and Rec, to support people with disabilities in the programs there. And Nakai was the lead on the teams that I was part of, and we did dancing, we did fitness, we did activities around town, and you just ran that place like nobody's business when you were heading up those programs. And it was the highlight of my week. Every week, spending time with you and spending time with them. So I didn't want to cut you short, though, because you said that you were at Edgewood. Is that it, or do you have like five other things that you do?
I am still supporting MSCR. I only have capacity in the summer. So you can find me at our new location downtown on Mondays doing my adaptive dance class. And yeah, we have a bus. And I enjoy that so much. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I know you need a partner. Just ask, Nakia. I'm back. I'm 100% in. It was so much fun. Yes. So, and on the home front, I know that you support your son and husband, and you're also helping raise your granddaughter. So I just want to give the microphone to you to tell a little bit about your own caregiving journey and how having a disability yourself has impacted your life.
My husband, when I met him, he identified as having a disability, and I loved him for who he was. Okay. He's my everything. My son, when he was younger, he didn't speak until he was four. And when he was speaking, it wasn't clear. And back then, like in 1998, when he was born, and I wasn't making the money that I'm making now, my doctors really, they weren't supporting me. They were like, oh, he's a boy. He's a boy. He'll be fine. But, you know, he had behaviors because he couldn't communicate. And so he was always that kiddo in the classroom who, he's touching me. He's bothering me. My son has suffered so much because of inadequate health care from when he was younger to just downright people being in denial to the stereotypes, because I had to tell him growing up, I'm like, son, you're a male and you're Black and you're different. And so he struggled a lot. He's currently incarcerated at Dane County. And we're just waiting to hear back. I am his advocate. I am his rock. He continues to struggle with pro-social behavior cues. In addition, he had a baby, and I love my granddaughter. She is 2 years old, but because my teacher head is always on, I was doing assessments. I just I try not to, but I do. And so I'm just so grateful that he was able to help me support him to get her what she needed. She's currently in birth to three. I recommend birth to three.
Yes.
Okay, guys. If your baby's neonatal and when they're born, if you're seeing any delays, please talk to your doctor, please, so that your babies can get the help that they need. Because my little baby, Nanaka, she is able to receive speech and language therapy. And I am so excited because that's something that my son did not have access to when he was 2 years old. Mm. And so I fight for the disability community all around the clock.
I bet. And you know what? Your husband, your son, your granddaughter, they are in great hands because nobody messes with you, and you know what's right and you know what should be done and you get it done. And like I said, I kind of get scared just talking to you, but you're a force to be reckoned with. And I feel like we're going to get into the same problem where we go to these big questions up against commercial, but we'll see how this goes. So there's a portion of the show where we like to ask powerful questions. And those are questions that make you go inward and reflect on your personal journey and wisdom. And since I feel like I'm kind of putting you on the hot seat here, I give you permission to go ahead and ask me the same questions. My answers aren't going to be as clever and thoughtful as yours, I'm sure, but go ahead for it. Go for it. But what I think we have time for one, so I'm going to make it a kind of an easy one. What motivates you to do this work?
Historical marginalization. Because I came from a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother who reading was not optional. And so at a very young age, I was reading content that was way above my grade level. And I know the beauties of America, okay? But I also know our shame and I know our pain. And so when I think about historically marginalized humans and how they've been treated, that's my fire right there. That's my why.
That is a wonderful why. I couldn't think of a better why. We have 1 minute left. In a minute or less, can you tell us, how do you overcome some of the sadness or setbacks that comes along with this work?
I had a great therapist years ago. She said, Nakia, emotions are fleeting. Let them come and let them go. But you keep going.
Well, you sum that up. You wrap that up with the bow. Nice. Beautiful. I have a few more questions for you. When we come back, we're talking with strong disability advocate, a woman you do not mess with, Dr. Nakia Wiley. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and today we've been talking about the Disability Pride Wisconsin and the Disability Pride Festival that's being held at Warner Park July 29th from noon to 5 p.m. And there's a virtual disability summit that's going to be held July 27th and 28th starting at 5 p.m. You can find more information about both of those by going to disabilitypridewisconsin.org or by checking out the Empowered Caregiver Community's Facebook page. If you have a person with a disability, I would absolutely love to hear what makes you proud about them. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. And I am going to go back to the amazing Dr. Nakia Wiley, who is the Vice President of Disability Wisconsin. And I was asking you some powerful questions. And my next one up for you is, what gives you the most joy in supporting people with disabilities?
The energy that they bring. The energy, the realness, the caring, the passion, all of the emotions, the hope of knowing that we've come far. We really have 30 years from ADA and all of the atrocities, but knowing that we are in so many places. And we have so many other places to go and so many talents and the uniqueness and, oh my goodness, they fill me up.
Well, you know, with you as their leader, they're going to get there. They're going to get everywhere they want to go if they follow you as the leader, because you got it all. But being a show for caregivers, I would like to ask you, what are three things that you would like to tell all family caregivers?
You have to advocate. Advocate, number one. Number two, you have to be abreast on the policies, on legislation. You got to know somebody who knows somebody who can get to the representatives, who can get to Capitol, so that we can get things done for our communities, okay? It's too much that's slipping by. So advocacy and being a part of the decision-making for the laws, and education for our littles. You have to be a part of the schools. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know we got a lot going on, but for our little ones, you got to be a part of that schooling. The schools need you. You are the expert. Teachers only know what they know. It's a lot of kids, okay? Mm-hmm. So make your voice heard. Go to the meetings. Be there. Show up and let them know who you are, who your child is, so that you can get them what they need. Advocacy. Everything hangs on the knowledge, being knowledgeable.
Exactly. And that's what we try to do each and every week. We try to let listeners know what's going on, what the legislators are saying yes to, what they're saying no to, and what they need to do. And we say time and time again, call, write, email, tell your story, tell your story, tell your story. So, without sounding like a broken record, I couldn't disagree more. Advocacy is key. And Nakia, you are the leader of advocacy in this town. And it was a privilege and an honor to talk to you and to get to know you and to have my son be able to work with you. So I thank you. I thank you for your time tonight. You did an amazing job letting everyone know about Disability Pride and why it's important and that they should go to the event and celebrate and enjoy. And you can feel the love at that festival from about a mile away. Can you not?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So if you want to let me know about what you are proud about for the person that you care for, I would love to know. I would absolutely love to know. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. And I just want to finish up a little bit about talking about disability pride. And Nakaya, you can stick around. If there's anything I'm missing, chime in, please. So Disability Pride Month is celebrated every July, and it is an opportunity to honor the history, achievements, experiences, and struggles of the disability community. And you may ask, why in July? Because July marks the anniversary of the Americans with the Disabilities Act, landmark legislation that broke down the barriers to inclusion in our society. So how can you show your love and pride for people with disabilities? Well, there are lots of ways. I have a few, but there are many more. The first one, Nakaya said it best, reach out to your elected officials. One of the most important ways you can get involved in disability rights movements is by educating your elected officials about policies that harm and strengthen the quality of life for people with disabilities. Another thing that you can do is teach your kids to acknowledge and include people with disabilities. Talk to your kids about disabilities, and the important conversation will help foster inclusion for the next generation. Third thing, attend a Disability Pride Month event in your area. And you can do that here in Madison. Like I said, you can feel the love a mile away. It is an amazing event, an amazing thing to be a part of, and a wonderful thing to support. So I encourage everyone to get involved and to go to disabilitypridewisconsin.org. Did I get that right, Nakaya? disabilitypridewisconsin.org and volunteer. They're still looking for able-bodied volunteers. It's not too late. Yes. So go there and volunteer. And another thing that you can really do to support and show your pride for people with disabilities is hire them. Hire them. Let them work for you. Our society has a long history of discrimination against people with disabilities, and it continues to translate to unemployment and underemployment. Right now, about 85% of people with intellectual disabilities are unemployed. So hire and support people with disabilities. So I want to thank you, Nakaya, for being here. We end each show by saying that we know being a caregiver can be hard. It is not for the faint of heart, but we are here to support you and educate you and advocate, and you got this. Have a great night.